following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
God, we love you. And this, what we're doing here, is incredible, just to be outside. And we've been talking about this since Wednesday, underneath your roof, which is the heavens. Incredible to be out here worshiping you and praising you under your rooftop. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your word here this morning, that our attention would be solely focused on what you have for us. Lord, that word that you want to speak to us, that you want to direct us in. Lord, and I believe this weekend you're speaking to us. You're directing hearts and minds closer to you. God, would you do that in this place here this morning? Less of me and so much more of you. Amen. Amen. Again, I'll remind you, we are in the city, so we are going to hear cars going by and helicopters flying. It's been one of the great things about preaching outdoors, is just you kind of get used to it. In fact, I'm probably going to miss it a little bit hearing that background noise, but I would just encourage you to stay focused as we hear the loud mufflers go by, and just stay focused on what the Lord has for you. He's got you here, I believe, for a reason, no matter what age you are, from our youngsters all the way up to our seniors. He's got something here for you in this text this morning. So I just want to call your attention to that. This weekend, as I was preparing for this message, I read this article, and it was about how do you handle stress, anxiety, and worry in this season? I imagine some of you have already started to kind of put some of these things into practice. But one of the things, the top of the list, there's six of them. The top of the list said this: stay away from social media. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, man. If we're talking about stress, anxiety, and worry, social media will add to that like no other. Here's the crazy thing. Do you know where people are now getting a majority of their information? Social media. So when you go to try to figure out something and you jump on social media, you're also getting all these other things as well, but you're kind of conditioned to be like, well, that's where I get my news source. A lot of people these days, I'm getting a lot of my stuff from social media, and then at the same time, it's dragging me down. And so one of the first things on this list, it said stay away from social media. Another one was know the facts. As worries and anxieties and stressors start to come, it helps to know the facts. And quite frankly, as Bethany and I have been talking, it's hard to know the facts. Like, who's actually telling us the facts? Like, where do we go for the facts? Which news source? Which doctors? Who do we listen to get the facts? In fact, that can also often be a source of frustration and anxiety as well. This is another one. Actively remind yourself of reasons not to worry. That we have to think about reasons why, you know, with all the things that are coming in that I'm worried about, that I'm stressed about, what are reasons I have not to worry? Like, will my kids ever go back to school? Probably at some point, right? There will be a moment where some of the things that we're worried and struggling with right now will go back to normal. So we actively remind ourselves, I will prayerfully one day go back to work again. I will go back to. So we remind ourselves of those things. Fourth one was create a new routine in your day. Find something you enjoy doing. Create a new routine. Fifth, occupy your mind with relaxing hobbies. So walking, drawing, reading. Somebody last service, and this is mine, gardening. Going out and just gardening, picking some weeds, trimming some things, you know? That really helps. What do you have for relaxation? What do you do? What is it? Yeah, what else?
Bike ride,
what else? Did somebody say maps? Naps. I thought you said math, and I'm like, oh, no. Then I thought you said, so naps, yes. Well, here's the last one they have on here. It says, if you live alone, this is number six, if you live alone or you're feeling lonely, phone a friend, call someone. These are all ways that we can deal with anxiety and worry and stress. But the thing that hit me as I got to the end of that article, this is the thing that struck me. These are all temporary fixes for a lifetime problem. In other words, worries, anxieties, and stresses will always be there, regardless of if you're in the COVID-19 season or not. I imagine for many of you, it didn't hit March and all of a sudden you started getting worried and anxious, right? That there were things before this season that we're all living in right now, things that brought you worry and concern and anxiety. There were things that hit you hard prior to 2020. And the reality is these things that are on this list, stay away from social media, okay? I'll do that. Know the facts. Do something that causes your mind to be released and have some joy and some freedom. Walk, exercise. These are all great things, but they're only temporary fixes for what will be a lifetime problem: worry, anxiety, and stress. So what does the Bible say about worries, anxieties, and stress? Look with me real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you're just joining us for the first time, we travel through the Bible together. We've been in 1 Peter. We're traveling through 1 Peter together. We're coming near the end of it as we are now in chapter 5 this morning. And we just try to take everything the Lord has for us in the book of Peter right now. And listen to what the Bible says about dealing with worries, anxieties, and stress. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Take a look at this. Here's what it says. Casting all your care upon him, that's the Lord, for he cares for you. I want to read that one more time. This is the Bible's answer to dealing with anxieties and stresses. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The idea here is that he says, the idea of casting all your cares, the cares there, speak of those anxieties and worries and stresses. Those things, listen, this is a great analogy, that tears you apart at the seams. Those things that if you allow them to fester and grow, they build and build and build, and they begin to tear you apart. And they begin to tear me apart. I imagine, or as I studied for this message this week, I was like, Lord, you're speaking directly to me on these things. So he says, when these trials come, when these cares come, and they begin to mount up and begin to build, and anxiety starts to build, listen, you have an enemy that would love for you to read the situation and think, you can't trust God. He's not good to you. Jeff, this is a problem. This is on God. Where's God in all this? He would love for you. The enemy would love for you to believe that. In fact, one of the things I think sometimes we feel like is the enemy is causing misery in my life. He's causing me to really have to struggle and stress and worry. And it's way worse than that. The enemy is causing you to doubt your faith and trust in God. That's his end goal. It's not just that you would have a miserable season of life. It's that eventually, one day, hopefully, prayerfully for him, he would say, I'm going to try to get you out of trusting in God. I want you to walk away from church. I want you to walk. You have so many things going on in your life, and you're carrying so many burdens. His objective isn't this that you just be in misery. It's that ultimately you would just turn your face on God. You'd walk away. The Bible says, listen, go the other direction. Cast all your cares upon him. Cast everything upon him. Your health concerns, your job concerns, your hurting marriage, your broken relationships, your money issues, everything. He says, cast your care upon the Lord. And then someone here this morning is thinking, well, that's kind of fairy tale, right? That sounds like wishful thinking. Is there some magic, magic in God or something like that? Is there something that God does that takes away all the cares and concerns? Because it seems like I've gone to church before and I've prayed, and yet it seems still like I have a lot of worries, anxieties, and stresses and fears. So what is it, Jeff? It seems, again, I'll say it seems a little fairy tale. Like that somehow there's this magic equation that God just takes away all those things. And many of you, I know, because you're thinking the same thing. It's like, well, in my life, I still have worries and concerns and cares, even though I've walked with God. They still have worries. And maybe this morning you're going to hear something that's going to help you walk through those seasons and those times. I think in order to understand verse 7, you have to understand verse 6. In other words, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. In order to understand that idea and understand that it's not fairy tale thinking, you have to look back at verse 6. So would you look at verse 6 with me? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And here's what it says. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen, my willingness to trust him demonstrates the faith that I have in him. My willingness to trust God that he's a big God, that he can handle my cares, anxieties, worries, and fears matters. In other words, if God is small, then I will continue to carry all those cares and concerns. If God is big, then I might take a chance and cast it on him. Let me give you a picture analogy of this. I've got a friend who's here to help me this morning, and he's been so great. It costs a lot for me to have him here. Love, care, concern, food. I've got to pay him food. But he's here with me. He's my son, Jack, and he's going to help me with this picture analogy. Hop up here, Jack. This is my son, Jack. Yep. Now, sometimes in life, we cruise, right? It's easy to walk back and forth on the balance beam, even if you're being pushed. No, just kidding. Walk back and forth. He can do it without any trouble. He's doing it, and he keeps going. And sometimes life is like that. We're just kind of going. It seems easy. It seems natural. And then we face a challenge. Something comes along, and we start to, you know, get stressed out. We get anxious about it. We worry about it. And sometimes we can't even see how to get through that problem. It feels like a little bit like we're in the dark. And we're asked to keep walking, but it seems so difficult. And that challenge causes us not to be able to see. Can you see?
No.
Do you trust me?
No.
Okay. And sometimes it can feel like God just in that moment disappears out of the equation. That we're up there kind of by ourselves, and God is completely out of the picture. And we call out, God, where are you? God, where are you? And it feels like God is not there. And maybe that is actually your view of God, that somehow there was this creation that happened, or maybe you even don't believe in God at all. And so you're kind of walking through life like Jack is up on this balance beam. He's blind. He's just kind of figuring things out day by day, can't really see, facing all these challenges. And God is nowhere to be seen. Some of you may even believe that God is there, but he just doesn't care. That God's kind of over here in the corner, maybe off to the side. He's reading a magazine. He's kind of disinterested in the things that you have going on in life. That maybe that's your view of God. That, yeah, God, I believe God's there. I believe he's, you know, some being out there in the universe. But there's so many people, and God really doesn't care that much about me. How could he care about me? But I think what the Bible tells us in this text is that not only is he there, but the words are that he cares for us. In fact, he's more like a father. This works out perfectly for us. He's a father walking with his son, and he's holding on. And the son is walking, and you're walking in life through the challenges, and God is right beside you all the way. And you are walking through this life together with him. And there will be moments where you start to fall. And then you get lifted back up again. And you start to walk along. Thank you, Jack, for your help. Do you want me to take that off for you? That balance of yours. There are times where we feel like, man, God, where are you? There are times we think, God, do you even care? But reality is, the Bible speaks of a God who is right beside us, walking beside us, who has got a hold of us, who cares for us very deeply. And I think that's what Peter is writing about here in our text. Is that God is there with you. God is walking beside you, holding on to you, caring about you, even in this season when you feel like, man, this is the hardest season of my life. I'm really struggling. I have so much fear and so much worry and so much anxiety. What you believe in that moment about God, where he is at, is he off the stage, disappeared? Is he there but doesn't really care? Or is God truly there walking beside you, holding you, caring for you? If you believe that, then, if you say, listen, I believe in the God who's walking beside me, that has a powerful moment. There are times, though, when we're walking, we've got our blindfold on, and we're kind of saying, God, I got this. God, I don't need you for this, right? And we kind of come up with our own ways to deal with the stress, the anxiety, and the fear. And we're pushing God away. And maybe some of you are in that moment here this morning. And I would just say the next text speaks to us, verse 6. Look what it says. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Where do you position yourself? Where is God positioned in your life? Notice that it says, it doesn't say over the mighty hand of God. As you're walking through this anxiety and struggle, sometimes we try to fight through it. I'm going to do it. I got my own ways. I don't need you, God, right? And we position ourselves over God, over the mighty hand of God. That doesn't make any sense though, right? The mighty hand of God. I got my ways, God. I don't need your ways. Or sometimes maybe you think, oh, I'll walk alongside, side by side with God. He has his ideas. I'll take some of his ideas, but I'll also use some of my ideas to get through this anxiety and worry and stress. We'll work together on this. And that's not what he's saying. He said, listen, I want you to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't go at this alone, Jeff. Don't do this by yourself. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does he mean by the mighty hand of God? It's a biblical principle. It means the covering power of God, the controlling power of God, the sovereign, all-knowing power of God. That's where we want to submit our lives, right? We don't want to be over that hand, and we don't want to be side beside with that hand. We want to say, God, I'm going to take my life and I'm going to submit it underneath your powerful hand. For the believer, that's a delivering hand. God's hand can deliver you out of things, out of stresses, anxieties, and worries. It can protect you from things. The arrows of the enemy, right, that we talk about. That God's hand's a protecting hand. That mighty hand is a trusting hand. We put our faith and trust in you, Lord, and you put your mighty hand on us and over us and cover us. Sometimes for the believer, it's a chastening hand. It's a discipline hand. God, I've told you many times, right? Don't go down that path. And yet here we are again. So it can be a disciplining hand because he disciplines the ones he loves. That hand, though, listen, is the safest place to be. That hand provides protection and comfort and care and parenting as God does. We don't want to be any place else. I don't want to be over that hand. I don't want to be side by side. God, I want to be under your hand. And that takes us submitting our lives to him. In fact, last week we saw that it says this, God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but what does he do with the humble? What does he give? Grace to the humble. The last place we want to be is positioning ourselves against God with our own pride, our own ideas. God, I'm on the balance beam. I got this. Don't worry about me. I'm going to keep having this fear and anxiety and worry. I'm going to do it. No. I just need to be broken before the Lord. And I need to be put underneath that mighty hand, that protecting hand, that loving hand of God. I don't want to fight against God. In fact, I need his grace. So I'm going to humble myself before him. I'm going to act in pride towards him. Think about these powerful verses. In fact, there are many that you know. But think about them in light of the fact that you serve a sovereign God who is powerful and mighty. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Think about that verse for a second. That verse only has power if you've submitted yourself to the living God and you've said, no matter what comes, God, I'm going to be underneath your mighty hand. And because I believe you're a big God and not a little God, you're a big God who is sovereign and powerful. I believe in Romans 8:28. I also believe in Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, for the person that has a small view of God, that he's distant off the stage, that he's kind of just kind of disconnected, and you can do whatever, that doesn't mean anything. But for someone who says, listen, I am right here. I will never leave you or forsake you. That has power in the believer's life. As you walk through anxiety and stress and worry, the fact that he has not left me or doesn't forsake me, that is power. Listen to this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Lord, forgive me. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. I mean, you're going to iron all this out, Lord. It may not look the same way I think it should look, but you're going to iron all this out. You're going to make my path straight. Yes, Jeff, as you walk with me amidst the struggles, amidst the anxiety and the worry and the stress, I'm going to iron this thing out. You'll see. But will you walk with me? Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, think about the power behind this verse. If we believe God is big and we believe he is walking with us, now put it in context of Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Those are things that bring concern and worry at times, the things that are presently happening right now, and the fear of things that could come. What is that thing that's going to happen? How are you going to solve that problem? Those are all things that can defeat us, but this text is saying, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's power. When you believe in a God that is big, that's walking with you on the balance beam of life through all your challenges, there's power in those texts. This is the strong foundation we need in this moment as we're walking through the season. Now, I get it. Like, I love the idea of staying away from social media, right? Absolutely. There's times where we dive into it, and there's times we need to pull back. Know the facts. Find something like walking or exercise. Find something that you enjoy during your day. Those are all great things. We should do those things. Phone a friend. If you're feeling lonely or anxious, call someone. Absolutely. But can we just say those are temporary fixes? This is the ultimate fix. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's the ultimate fix. That's the lifelong fix of all anxiety, all worry, all stress. Have a big view of God and who He is, and that He's walking with you in this season. In fact, I got another friend coming up. Actually, the same friend, but we got a different picture we're going to use. So imagine for a moment with me. Notice the text. It says, casting all your cares upon Him. Not just some of your cares, but all your cares. It's a little bit like if you've ever gone hiking before in the mountains, and you've gone on a long, long, long trip, right? And you're walking along, and someone says to you, hey, can I help you with that?
I got it.
Are you sure? I would love to help you with that.
Take that.
Oh, that's a small one, right? I can do more. Do you need help with anything? Oh, you will. Oh, good. You let me help. And this, it feels better, doesn't it? Get all this off your back. That idea that Jack did there where he threw the backpack on me was casting. That's the idea of casting your cares upon the Lord. That you literally take that weight off your back and you say, I'm not carrying this anymore. God, I need you. And you cast that backpack. It's that feeling when you've been hiking all day, you get to the campsite and you just take that backpack off. And there's this feeling of like, oh, right? That you're relieved. There's a sense of freedom from the thing that held you down all day, that backpack. And oftentimes what happens with us is we'll say, okay, I'm going to go. And God, I'll give you this one, right? And we kind of toss God one of the small concerns in our life. I'll pray about that. Yeah, I'll pray about that. Here you go, Lord, take this one, right? But we're prideful people, right? God, I got the big ones, right? I'm going to keep carrying this one, right? I got this one. He's saying, Jeff, no, cast all your cares upon the Lord. No. This is big stuff for me. I'm going to keep carrying it, right? This is part of my identity. I carry this thing, and I don't want to give it up. And there's pride in that. And he's saying, no, stop. Stop for a second. I want all of your worries, concerns, anxieties, and fears. Cast them all upon me. And it takes us saying, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hand you even the big things. Sometimes I would just say one of the indicators that you're carrying that burden is your mood, right? Your frustration. I'll take you out of the picture because it's probably not you. One of the indications for me, as if I'm carrying stuff, I'm worried, I'm anxious, my wife will be a great indicator of that. You seem to be frustrated easily. You seem to be fatigued and tired. You seem to be moody. What's going on, right? There's usually an indicator there that I have not casted all my cares upon the Lord, that I'm carrying something. And the Lord maybe has been saying to me, Jeff, I want that. Like I was for Jack. Hey, let me help you with that. Let me help you. And finally, just casting that off and giving it to the Lord. But sometimes we hold so tightly onto those things. But look what he says. Cast all your care upon the Lord. Cast it all upon the Lord. What are you holding back from the Lord that you're holding so tightly onto? Maybe you don't even know. That maybe there's just something in your life that you're just like, I'm so moody and frustrated. And maybe there's something that the Lord would speak to you this morning right now that would just say, hey, this is what it is. And you would just begin right now, begin to cast that upon the Lord. Send that, take it off your back and give it to Him. Here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to do this. And it reminds me of my grandma's carpet back in the day. She had this long, it wasn't really shag, but it was long pile purple carpet that she had in her house. And when you walked in her house, there were these well-worn pathways to wherever people would go in her house, to the bathroom, to the den, to the kitchen. And you'd just see this very clear pathway. Some of us have those clear pathways in life. When stress and worry comes, we have well-worn pathways that lead to other places other than to the Lord. Some of you, I believe, it's probably entertainment. I know for young people today, video games are a huge thing, right? That they don't even know, but I've got stress and worry and anxiety in my life. And the way I do it is I just veg out with video games, right? And maybe some adults do. And maybe me occasionally. So I'm not saying anything though, really. Occasionally, but not really. But maybe, just a little bit, maybe. Okay. Some of this is sports. That's more me. Sports. I'll just come home. I had a long day. A lot of stuff happens at work. Blah, blah. And I'm just gonna watch some sports. That's a well-worn pathway. Some of it, maybe like substances or other vices, things that have caused us to. Hey, this is the first place I go. I go get a drink, and it deals with my anxiety and worry and stress. And maybe I drink too much, and it leads me down that other pathway. It's a well-worn pathway. Or maybe I cast all my cares on my family, right? And I'm not saying sometimes we need to speak to our family. We need to talk to our family. But they can't handle all my cares and all my worries and all my anxiety. Maybe temporarily, and maybe they can give me some sound biblical godly wisdom. But for me to lay it all on my spouse, I don't think she could handle all that, right? That's a well-worn pathway. Listen, God says, cast all your cares upon me, upon him. That we would be people who say, listen, I'm going to cast all my cares on the Lord. Not go down all these well-worn pathways in the carpet that lead anywhere but the Lord. And oftentimes, listen to me to say this, those things are replacing your coming to the Lord. You're going there first. That's the place I go first, because that gives me that temporary relief. But just like those things we read at the very beginning, stay away from social media, find something that causes your mind to be at peace, look for a joyful part of your day. Those are all temporary fixes. These are all temporary fixes. Those well-worn pathways are temporary fixes. And actually maybe keeping you away from going to where you need to go, which is where God calls us to go, because he's a big God who's walking with us, and he's saying, Jeff, come to me. Bring that to me. Cast that backpack, that heavy load, cast that on me. You're giving me the small stuff, I get it. But cast the big things onto me. I'm good for it, Jeff. I can carry that. In fact, I'm asking you, here in the text, give it to me. What if, instead of going down all those well-worn pathways that lead everywhere but God, we just said, listen, in my home, from now on, I'm committing to wear a pathway in that carpet that leads right to the Lord. That when people walk into my house, they don't see pathways going all over. They just go right, a pathway that leads right to the Lord. And maybe it's not very worn for you right now, but over in the years to come, you start wearing that down, and you do it for your kids, and you do it for your grandkids, and you do it for those people who are friends in your life, and you're like, I'm gonna wear this carpet out, going to the Lord first every single time. And you just wear out that carpet that leads to the Lord, that well-worn path that leads to the Lord. Here's what I think, so what does that look like, right? What is, you keep saying cast your cares upon the Lord, but what exactly does that look like? I have three things, and you could come up with more, but here's three quick things I think that you could do right now, today, starting now, to cast your cares upon the Lord. The first thing I would say is this. Fight the fight against sin. Don't let sin win. Here's what I know about sin. Sin supercharges worry, anxiety, and fear. When we give in to sin, when we walk close hand in hand with sin, instead of turning away from it and walking away from it, we walk closer to sin than we do to God. And all of a sudden, the source of our peace and our joy, and the one that says, I will take your cares, now he's being cast off because I'm holding so tightly onto sin. And here's the lie with sin. And sin is a temporary fixer of things, but it will mess things up over time. It supercharges your anxiety and worry. The more I know what the Lord says and the way he calls us to walk, the closer I will have peace in my life and joy in my life. Sin is deceptive. It says, listen, Jeff, just do that. Come on, no big deal. Oh, I see you're worried. Just come over here, Jeff. Come over here, right? And it lures us away from the one who's saying, I'm right here walking with you. And I love you. Jeff, walk with me. Trust in me. I will deal with the trust and anxiety. So one of the ways when we say we cast our cares upon him is that we go and we spend time with him, right? And one of those things that keeps us from doing that is that sin part of our life. So we repent and we turn away from that sin. We fight it actively, daily. Second thing, we humble ourselves. We kind of already talked about this. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. God, you are in charge. If I'm going to cast my cares upon you, I want a big God. And so, therefore, I'm not going to try to micromanage God. I'm just going to say, God, you are in charge. You take over. I'm going to submit my life to you. I'm going to humbly submit my life to you. That means when pride wells up, oh, I got this. No big deal. I'm going to kill that. Lord, I'm just going to come underneath your mighty hand. So number one, we fight against sin. Number two, we fight against pride. Three is this. We spend time with him. It's not a religious thing. It's not like it's not something that we say, okay, well, if you're going to be a good Christian, then you got to do this. Let me just sell you on this. There is a direct correlation between the amount of time that you spend with the Lord in prayer, in his word, worshiping him in quiet time, and fear, anxiety, worry, and stress. That if I will genuinely get away and spend time with him, it's almost like there's a mathematical equation there, that I will spend time with the one that I love, the one who's walking beside me, the one that says he cares for me and loves me, and my fear, anxiety will be put in check. Because if I'm trusting in a big God and I'm spending time with him, he's going to put that fear, anxiety, and worry in check. And let me just tell you this. Here's what these three things, fighting against sin, humbling myself, my life underneath God's mighty hand, and spending time with him, those are forever practices. Those are forever things that in a year from now, if everything goes back to normal and then I find out that I'm sick, okay, I go back to these principles. I'm going to fight sin. I'm not going to let sin win in my life. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to humbly submit to him. When those fears and anxiety comes, God, I'm going to cast them on you. Because I've developed a life pattern of casting care upon the Lord. Those are three ways. I'm sure you could do more. Start taking those steps, though. Don't wait. If fear and anxiety is a real thing in your life right now, then start casting them upon the Lord, spending time with him, fighting against sin in your life, and I'm going to humble myself before you, Lord. So we humbly submit to a big God. He intervenes. He walks beside us. He's not the distant God off the stage. He's not the I don't care God that's over to the side. He's actually walking with us all along, and this is the best part of the message. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the second part. It's four words, four little words. I want you to underline these four words. Here's why Peter says, and he's writing to a church that's being persecuted. He's writing to a church that's being ostracized from the culture. And he's writing from a church that's actually going through some physical beatings. And he actually writes these words to them. Four little words, underline these. He cares for you. He cares for you. That's powerful. That there is a God of creation who is sovereign and powerful, who has a design for your life. And here it says four things. He cares for you. Now, I know the enemy would love for you to just lie to you and say he doesn't care for you. Why is all this stuff happening? Why is this stuff happening in your life? It's because God's distant, because God doesn't care. He doesn't care for you. And then we just go right back to the text and we say, enemy, devil, listen, I get it right here in the text. This is only one spot, by the way. There's thousands of them. But these four little words I will come back to time and time again. It says here in his words, he cares for you. So when they mount, when they build, when I get stressed, I come back and I say, he cares for you. He cares for me. Psalm 139:13, for you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. For I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Jumping down to verse 17 of Psalm 139. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God thinks about you. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The psalmist is saying, listen, God cares about you. He thinks about you. That's a foreign thought, I know, for many people. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I've never even thought about that before. God has always been distant. God has always been kind of, oh, I don't really care. But to hear the idea that all these stresses and worries and anxieties, I can take them somewhere, that God invites me to take them to Him, to cast all my cares, not my little ones, but my big ones as well, that I can just take them and hand them to the Lord and say, oh, okay, I'm tired of carrying them. And we see practically, what does that look like? Well, I'm going to spend time with Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, God, will you please help me with these cares that are overwhelming me? And I come back to His Word. I got one more. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, you help me. Who can be against us? Right? If God is for us, then who or what can be against us? He goes on and he says, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? What's he saying? God made a huge deposit for you and I. He said, listen, I love my creation so much. I want to redeem them. I want to save them. I want to walk alongside them. I'm going to make a huge deposit. Here comes my son. And he's going to die on a cross. And for those people that put their faith and trust in this gift, this deposit that I'm giving to him, I will walk with them for the rest of their life until they see me one day in eternity. I will be present with them. So when those worries and anxieties, stress comes, we just have to say, well, he made a huge deposit for me. He must not have left me. He must not have forsaken me. He must not be a distant, uncaring God. Instead, I look at Romans 8 and I think, man, he made a huge deposit so that he could walk with me and I could walk with him. So when those concerns come, I need to say, listen, but my God is bigger than that. And he cares for me deeply. I need to start walking with him again. Some of you need to start walking with him again in this season. Maybe especially in this season as things are mounting up. I'm going to turn my attention back to the Lord again. Some of you here this morning, that's why you're here. That God is saying to you, come back to me, right? Don't listen to the enemy who's pulled you away from me and you've gone down all those other paths. Now come back to me. Start spending time with me again. Spend time in my word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'm walking beside you. I love you. I made a huge deposit so that you and I could spend your life together. Come back to me. Some of you just maybe for the first time are hearing, listen, there's a God who cares about me. Those four little words. He cares for you. He cares for you. And that's a reality. That's the reality that many of us have held so tightly onto, that God cares for me, that he's in life's details. He's there walking beside me through all of life's seasons because he cares for you. Some of you need to know that this morning. As we close, I'll give you a homework assignment that I think will be super fun. No, it probably won't be. But as Michael comes back out here, the band comes out here. Homework assignment, here it is. I want you to do this. And for those that are watching online, this is actually perfect because you're sitting there and you could grab a piece of paper and pen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write out your fears and anxieties and your stresses. Those things right now that are causing you those fears, anxieties, and stresses. Now, you don't have to show this to anyone else. You could do it in your quiet time. No one ever has to see it. Okay? Or you could show it to someone else and just say, hey, would you help me pray through these things? This is what's causing me fears, anxieties, and stresses. I imagine as you write out your list, the first five will be easy. Oh, I know. But as you spend time with the Lord, he maybe would reveal to you some other things that you're carrying around that seem maybe heavier than you thought. Maybe the first ones are easy. I'm just going to toss these out because Jeff said do a homework, right? But then as I spend time with the Lord, he's going to say, hey, actually, Jeff, man, this on a daily basis is weighing you down. Oh, Lord, I didn't see that. I didn't realize that. But listen, it's going to take you taking some time to really think about and write these things down and spend time with him. Open in prayer and say, God, would you help me with this? And here's what I want you to do on that list, that same list.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write out 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. This is what it is, remember? Cast all your cares upon him, all your cares upon him. And those four words, powerful words, he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And over that paper, you're gonna claim that verse. You're gonna pray over that verse. You're just gonna say, listen, all these things are big. Some are bigger than others. These things are weighing me down. They're causing me to be moody, anxious, frustrated, tired, fatigued. And God, I'm going to come into this day today. I'm going to pray over these things because I believe it's true what we learned in your text this weekend, that you care for me, that you care for me, and that I am called by a follower of Christ to cast those cares upon you and trust in you. Would you do that this weekend? I really want to encourage you, spend some time with that in your quiet time. If you don't have a quiet time, just tomorrow morning or this evening, just get away by yourself for a moment. Get a piece of paper. I guess you could do it on an iPad or your phone and just write that list out of things that really, maybe, Lord, would you just speak to me about these anxieties and stresses and worries? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your word. All the time on daily, weekly basis where I say, where else would I go? Where else would I turn? I think there are worldly ways to deal with stressors and anxiety. And some of those things I believe are just healthy. Rock, walking, exercise, reading. Those are great things. But ultimately, Lord, I believe the answer to our worries and stresses and anxieties are found in you. In building a relationship with you. In trusting in you, the sovereign God, bigger than life. God, would you lead us to that place this week? Each one of us walking through different things, would you lead us to your feet this week that we would cast those cares upon you? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's all stand and sing this out.
For we trust in our God. Unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. For we trust in our God, and through His unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. Against him will fall, for our God is stronger, he can do all things. No higher name we can call, but Jesus is greater, we can do all things. All those against him will fall, our God is stronger. Unfailing love, and through his unfailing love, we will not be shaken. 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 For we trust in our God. Let's sing it. For we trust in our God, and through his unfailing be shaken, we will not be shaken, we will not be shaken.
Amen.
Amen. We will fight against an enemy that would love to shake you in this season, and maybe he's already done some shaking, but we will trust in our God and we will fight against that enemy by putting our faith in him. I want to thank you guys right here in this middle row who that sun broke out and was just like, I'm going to bake all these people, right? But you stayed strong, so thank you, and you paid attention, which is awesome. Hey, we're going to have the prayer team up here in front. If you want prayer for any of these anxieties, worries, or stresses, come up here and receive prayer. Off to my left is going to be communion. I want to encourage you, just because I know how my mind works, do that homework assignment this week. I pray that it would just be so powerful to you, and then maybe, if God gives it to you, maybe share it with someone, maybe a spouse or someone who you really trust, and say, would you pray with me through this? All right, have a great week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.